So welcome everyone to season two of What a Pickle, sponsored by Standout. And I'm very fortunate today to have as my guest, Sam Basford.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we're going to start at the beginning.
Yep.
All right. Happy birthday for last month, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
If social media is correct, 17th of September?
Correct. Yeah. A few weeks ago, turned 25. So starting to feel a bit old, to be honest.
No, please, I had a birthday the other day, so that's old. That's much older. Celebrate?
Small, went out for lunch with my mum, just kept it
nice.
Sort of chill, not really a big party sort of person. So, just nice and chill and, got to stay in, take away in the evening, you know.
Chill classic. Out, good.
Yeah, nice and chill.
No pickleball then?
No pickleball, surprisingly. Played the day before. But yeah, took a day off from.
So let's start with your pickleball journey then. So how did you find pickleball? How did you get involved?
So most people, I think, sort of fall into pickleball in some way. And I guess that's the same for me. So I grew up playing pretty much every sport I could. Football, tennis, table tennis, hockey, cricket, everything.
Yeah.
Apart from rugby, basically. And one week, my cousin, Peter Hitchman, who is also quite a good pickleball player, came back and said, you know, I've been and tried pickleball and I think it would suit you. So I was like, okay, skeptical, as everyone is because of the name. Went along, tried it, and same as everyone else, I guess, basically never.
Did you fall in love with it straight away?
Yeah, yeah. I was never really sort of, like, amazing at any of the other sports I played. So tennis, you know, I was okay. Table tennis, reasonable. Football, depends who you ask if I was good or not.
What position did you play in football?
Centre mid.
Okay.
Centre mid.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, pickleball sort of, I don't know, like all of those things added up quite nicely for me. And I seemed to take to it quite well. And just kept playing from there, really.
And was that a journey that you did on your own, or did your brothers or family? Did your dad play as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, so it's become a bit of a family affair, yeah. So obviously Peter, my cousin, took me along. I then took younger brother Jamie, the week after. So he started playing. Then my other brother, Will, he started playing. And then over the years, it sort of infiltrated. So my dad has played for the last 5 years or so. And then most recently, my sister has sort of got randomly really excited about it. So she's now playing
Molly be pleased now. More women
definitely,
coming into the game,
definitely.
Which is great.
She's really keen. And yeah, my mum's been and played a few times as well. So it's been like the full set is now complete.
I think I have played against your dad because I was told what's his first name?
Richard.
Richard Basford. He said he likes to hit the ball hard.
Mm.
And apparently your dad does hit it very hard.
He does.
When he connects.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, and I saw your brother playing in the Open this year with Louis.
With James.
Yeah. I think they did all right.
Quarterfinals. Yeah.
It was Open this year, wasn't it?
It was. You know, it was the level was so high. And Jamie's one of those really annoying people that he basically didn't play for 4 months before that tournament. Walks into the highest level tournament ever in Europe and sort of just
fits in,
cruises his way to the quarterfinals. We're all quite sporty. So,
And did you compete in the Open this year?
I didn't. I was on commentary duty.
Long days.
But I sort of took a bit of a break from competing for a couple of reasons and. Enjoying the other side, I guess, to what other opportunities are out there when you're not playing all the time. So
it was a great my wife and I our first time, and it was just what the atmosphere, the whole thing was just fantastic. It was crazy good, and everybody, again, this is one of the reasons why I sort of wanted to do the podcast was about introducing people to the game, the community of pickleball. And, everyone that I've had on previously, even Louis says, the great thing about it, play a game and you go and have a beer with someone.
Yeah.
And no one seems to hold any grudges or get angry. A game's a game, but it's done. When it's over, it's done. But it's No, I love the sport. Can't get enough of it. Missed not doing the podcast, so thank you very much for coming along. No,
I was wondering when season two was going to come along. I've been waiting.
The boys have been doing this as well, getting the studio ready. So I also have to fit it in with them. Mm-hmm. So it's that.
One day. It'll take precedence.
I think when the money comes, maybe they'll start charging me. But yeah, no. And they do their OG Boys podcast, and you know, they're very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So now one of your kind friends said you're a sloth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that true?
I guess it could be.
You know who said that, don't you?
I do, yeah. She said it to me yesterday. This morning.
I did message her and said, like, what can you tell me about? Yeah. And she goes, no, Sam's sitting next to me. Wait till he goes. And then straight away she goes, he's a sloth.
Sloth, yeah. It's...
They're just cool, slow cool yeah,
very,
creatures, aren't they?
Very laid back and, you know, take their time with doing things. And I consider it positive, to be honest. I think it's, you know, it's good to generally be, you know, quite laid back and let things happen and see what happens. And
does that come into your game?
I would say so. When I'm doing a lot of, you know, when I'm out on court and I'm talking to people, you know, I talk a lot about time. And I think time is really important on the pickleball court and in how you play. So I have a lot of people say to me, oh, you know, you look like you're playing slow motion and all of this. So I think it probably does. I'm never too much in a rush for anything, really. And especially on court, you know, I'm most comfortable when I'm taking my time and
must love a dink then.
Playing my game. Love a dink.
You must love a dink. Can you dink forever?
Well, I'm not going to put that out in the public domain just in case, you know, time I can't. But I'm much happier sitting in those rallies you know, the faster hands battle stuff doesn't suit me.
No.
So yeah, my game is all slow, measured, you know.
Tactical.
Yeah. Strategic. Wait for the opportunity.
I think everyone I've 2 years been playing now, and it's like patience. One more shot.
Yeah.
And you know, the opportunity to win a point will come if, as long as you keep playing the right shots. But you know, don't try and attack too early. And attack the right balls.
Yeah.
Take your time. It's a game of chess, isn't it?
It's a real difficult balance, you know, because you get those occasions where you see a ball and you think you can go for it, and you know, I do that all the time. As much as I love being in the slow rallies, I often get bored really quickly. So, you know, I'll put in a lob or a speed up, and inevitably at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But that's just part of the game. And I think that's why it's such a good game and a good sport, is because, you know, you can spend all the time in the world learning about exactly that, how to, you know, how to wait and how to force an error and all of this. And yeah, we all still attack at the wrong time, and we all still make the wrong choices.
And it's interesting because I'm with Fleet Aces, and we volunteer some coaching. And last night we're doing some coaching, and I did a third shot drop, and I watched a video. We've got some training plans, but I watched a video.
Yep.
Two ladies in America, and having done the drill, which was fine, then they asked the pro lady, "Well, what are you working on now? What is something you're working on?" And she said, "Is it a new shot or something?" Because obviously, the fundamentals is it serve deep, return deep, keep them deep, get to no volley zone, dink, patience, and win points at the right time. It's a quite a simple game, really, isn't it? And
she
said, on the base, yeah. And she said, well, I'm working on actually staying at the no volley zone. So when people are attacking me, I don't start moving back.
Yep.
And obviously that becomes quite an instinct for people, isn't it? Yep. When things are coming hard at you,
for sure,
you start to move.
Yep,
and actually,
for sure,
counterintuitive is you want to stay there, isn't it?
Yep.
Because actually it comes back. So. Yep. I was going to be interested in what she's putting in place to do that. You know, lead boots or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's one of those where you just have to figure out what works best for you, and that's why I love, you know, the coaching side is because you can fix the same problem for five different people in five different ways, and you have to, because everyone learns in a different way. But
everyone's got different coordinations as well.
Yeah, and you have to try different techniques and see what works and see what doesn't. And it's, you know, sometimes you have to come up with, you know, innovative ways of getting them to do certain things. But I agree. It's I that's why I think it's, there's so much more still to learn about, you know, the game for everybody, because you know, I don't know if it's been figured out yet, you know?
Well, it seems to be getting quicker.
It does.
The game. It does. I think the firefights seem to be more,
yeah,
more prominent. Yeah. Are you with London Pickleball, or you've got your own club that you...
I play, so yeah, we have a club in rugby, but I spend quite a lot of time at London Pickleball, yeah.
Because their philosophy seemed to be, I think when I first started, was they were all about dinking. Correct. And slowing the game down.
Yep.
And then once been around a little bit more, and people start, there's a bit more, some of the bangers, mm-hmm. so people call them, mm-hmm. so from the tennis people, from mm-hmm. the tennis world, tend to hit the ball, yep. hard. But I think... you get found out in a way. If you can slow the game down, it does change, sure. that dynamic, doesn't it?
For sure.
Which leads me to SB Pickleball.
SB Pickleball.
This,
correct.
Is you, the there professional.
Yeah.
Pickleball. So what is SB Pickleball? Is it an academy, or is it just?
It's, so I would say it's just like an overall brand almost. So I went full time, I guess if you can call it that, in pickleball just under 2 years ago.
With the coaching and play?
Yeah, like lots of different things. So SB Pickleball was basically just the mechanism for me to do that. So it's just the umbrella of the, you know, coaching, the coaching courses that we run, the brands that I work with, anything like that. It all just goes through that. So it, more than anything, it was a formal way of setting up.
Something came
basically
out of the degree then, isn't it?
The
business part of the degree, I'm going to set up my own business.
If there's one part that was handy, it was knowledge of company structures and, you know, tax rules and all that sort of stuff. So generally quite well placed to deal with my own issues, which is nice. So it's just the umbrella really for all the activities that I do.
And where is it going? Where do you want it to go? What is it? What is the dream with SB Pickleball?
Good question. And you know what? I don't really have an answer for it. Only because I think that things change so quickly in the sport. And, you know, less than 2 years ago, it was completely voluntary. There was not that many players. And all of a sudden now we've got, you know, coaches popping up. We've got, you know, things like the Franklin Premier Pickleball League, which is becoming bigger. We've got, you know, European tournaments, which are offering more prize money, and the sort of business of pickleball is always expanding.
Yeah.
And so in a way I've sort of stayed quite safe thus far with going, well, I'll do a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of that and see what I like or see what works. And
throw the hook out there and see.
Yeah. And you know,
it takes a bite.
Yeah. Cause also it's figuring out for me which bit I enjoy the most.
Of course.
And that's one thing I got from doing my degree, was I wanted to do something that I enjoyed rather than do something for the sake of, you know, maybe
earning more
money. If
you can do a job in life
money.
That you enjoy doing, then great, vocational things,
exactly,
isn't it?
That. So, so honest answer is I don't know. I'd love to say I've got big plans to, you know, do this and do this and do this, but I think I'm, you know, take that sloth approach. I'm more just...
See what happens tomorrow.
See what moves and then go from there.
So do you do a lot of coaching?
It depends week to week, to be honest. Yeah. Sometimes I'm on court, you know, 20, 25 hours in a week. Sometimes I'm not on court at all in a week. You know, sometimes I'm in a club doing club sessions. Sometimes I'm, you know, in a leisure center doing some one-to-ones. It really varies.
We need to get you down then, because we've had Rob Williams down.
So we've had everyone.
We've had Thaddeus. We've had Louis coming again next week. We've had Thaddeus twice. We've had Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've had the whole world.
We want to give the opportunity to members of mm-hmm. the club to get better.
Yep.
And there are lots of, I think the problem has been, is lots of different messages people have been given,
sure.
like saying, oh, I was told I should wait, or I need to do that.
And, yeah, for sure.
And I've noticed even with Rob, you know, Rob's changed some of his mm-hmm. his coaching. Mm-hmm. He's gone like, no, I was always doing that, but now there are different
yeah.
ways of doing stuff.
Yeah.
Thaddea came back and she said, well, no, I'm practicing this now because someone said to me, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though the game fundamentally is quite simple, mm-hmm. there are the different techniques or things
for
to
sure.
learn, which is great. And
for sure.
yeah, no, it, we love having a coach down. I love it. I think it's great because you guys experience it more when you're playing against better people, and you learn all these different techniques. And
yeah, it's interesting. I find it fascinating. Like I said earlier, this is why I don't really think the game's been figured out yet. We sort of consider very traditional pickleball is, you know, a soft game, third shot drop, move in, dink, till someone makes a mistake. The modern game, like you said, is becoming quicker, so it's a lot more drives, a lot more speed ups, be a bit more relentless. And
yeah, I think even in the 2 years, I mean, I was told there were 3 third shot drops, you know, a third shot drop, a lob, and a drive.
Yeah.
And now there's a hybrid, so there's 4 third shot drops, and you go, that's how the game's progressed slightly.
Exactly. And I think, in 2 years' time, we have this conversation again, we'll be talking about another change that's happened.
Yeah.
Whether that's down to, players and being innovative or paddle technology, it's difficult to know. But I think this is why it's always good to have those conversations. And like you said, if you can get Rob, Louie, Molly, Thaddea all coaching, and even if they're providing slightly, conflicting ideas, it gives good perspectives for the players on, you think, I more relate to what Molly says, or I more relate to what Louie says.
Yeah.
And then it gives you a bit more direction, because we can explain 4 different things to you, and if one resonates with you the most, then that's great.
That's good coaching. That's good coaching. If you, like say, you've got to find a way of getting the message across to different people, isn't it? Even with any form of coaching, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's difficult. So, I was going to say, I've lost my train of thought there. So we need to get you
making
down.
Making you think about coaching. That's
well, right. Yeah, I mean, I did the level one. And that's why I did the level one, and Rob took the course. And that leads me on to, you were involved with writing the British version.
Correct.
Of the level one IPTA.
Yes.
Model. And I assume you guys are sort of working on level two.
Correct.
Has the level one yet been published and is now...
Yeah.
A British version that we can all...
Correct. So it's been named the Pickleball England Club Instructor.
Right.
Which is effectively the level one.
Yeah.
We launched it in... Oh, I should backtrack. We piloted it in April of this year. And we launched it in July. I think we've done in total 12 workshops since then. So we've had over 100 people go through the course. It's had really good feedback in terms of the way that the session runs, the workshop runs, the sort of work they have to do afterwards. And I think, it seems to be, as far as we can see, it seems to be working really well and providing us with a good opportunity to differentiate slightly away from the way we delivered IPTPA before.
For someone like me who's done the IPT level one, but not the online bit.
Yeah. We'll keep it secret.
Keep it secret, because that's just the rules bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is a bit odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, another way of generating some money, I think.
And sure.
I think there's many people I know have done the level one. Like, I haven't done that bit yet because I don't want to spend another $100
or
whatever it is.
Cost. Sure.
Is it transferable?
Will be, yeah. So that's the plan is if you've done the IPTPA level one, then you won't have to redo the workshop. For our new Pickleball England one, there's a workshop, there is an online test, sort of similar but different to IPTPA, and there's like a reflection piece to do. So what we wanted to do was make sure that the people who are coming on the course, in order to get like a certificate at the end, were actually going away and doing some coaching.
Yeah.
And using what we'd discussed, right? Because with IPTPA, it was great, but there was no record for us to be able to go, well, they're actually coaching, they're actually doing anything with the certification. So
then we had 2 minutes on court with Robert Farnham just doing
a little
drill, and that's it. Just say, oh, you have the ability to communicate with people.
That's it.
Really what it was, isn't it?
The test looks slightly different. There's a lot more emphasis on the workbook and the workshop rather than the rules.
Yeah.
Which is good, because again, it's just our way of going, you've been on the workshop, making sure that you've been almost like paying attention throughout the day and you've picked up the little bits and bobs. So yes, it will be transferable across. We're hoping we'll get that sorted this year. And then, currently looking at level two, there's a few things that need to happen for that to happen.
And is that going to be very different to the IPTA level two?
Yes. So we're looking at, for our level two, like a couple of days in person, a decent chunk of coursework, and then an assessment at the end.
Not 28 shots that you can do, nine out of 10.
Not 28 different shots, no.
Which I always found bizarre, and I've had this conversation with Rob. It's like in football, isn't it? You don't need to be able to do a Rabana, be a good football coach. Yes, you could say there are skills, guys, that if you could try that and learn it, but I can't show you how to do it, but I can show you a video, or there will be people who will be better at it as well than me. And like, what, just because I can't do 9 out of 10 third shot drops, does that mean I'm a bad coach? I mean, I can show you the technique, and I can do one or two and show you what you should know, knees, contact points, arcs and things like that.
Yeah.
You need to practice that, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit, I think the old way was a bit contrived, right? Because that, third shot drops will take, for example, you've got to get 8 out of 10 in a row. It doesn't really simulate the given situation where you'd hit it. Mm. So we will have a skills assessment, but we're trying to find a way to basically make it more game realistic. So like with dinking, rather than can you hit 10 into that spot in, out of 10, it's can you, in 30 seconds. So we time base it rather than shot base it. Mm. But also make it a bit more flexible so that if you don't do it on the first try,
you're not going to get penalized.
We're thinking about ways of facilitating it, and filming is one of those things. I recently, to some people's dislike, recently went and did the LTA level one assessment for tennis, just to have a look and see what it was like. And they had a feeding assessment, which was similar in principle. You have to be able to hit the ball into the right place, but it was all videoed by me, so I went and did it on a local tennis court. And they just said, film it as many times until you get it right. And if it takes you one time, that's great. You can do it. If it takes you 100 times, that's fine, because you spent 99 times practicing it, the skill to get good enough to be able to do it on the 100th time. So I think there's a degree of flexibility that needs to be had. And like you said, you don't have to be able to do, everything that you're trying to teach people to do. But it's good always to have a baseline level of skill.
And will there be skill, like a coach's community, so that a body, you've got pickleball but arms that coaches all register to.
Yeah.
And then I assume you want more coaches.
For sure.
Because you and Rob.
Great,
And I'm leaving Molly and and Louis out because they're playing full time as well. So it's a sort of an extra sideline for them, isn't it? But, I think there's only two of you level twos in the country. Is it you and Rob?
There's a variety of level twos IPTPA, but, we fundamentally, it's a Pickleball England initiative, and the whole aim with that is how can you expand the sport across the country? In order to do that, we need more leaders. We need more level ones. We need more level twos.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
I'm all for that.
For my sake, it saves me traveling to Newcastle, Devon. Yeah.
Well, it makes it more affordable, isn't it? Because you're going to charge 100 quid for some petrol, and that person locally can get a lot more out of it, can't they?
For sure. So, yeah, I think it's a.
Well, maybe we should have a chat about more coaching.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's always a difficult balance, right? Because it will be for a while, because there's lots of people in pickleball who are, especially in this country, who are involved in lots of different things, right? Myself included. Mm. So I have my own stuff. We do the courses for Pickleball England. I work with, different brands, Franklin, UK Pickleball Shop. So I've got my fingers in lots of different pies. And you can see, and I'm not blind to it, there's an appearance of, well, if you're coaching, then surely you don't want loads more coaches coming in. And it's a difficult one for, to get around. But I think ultimately you see that there's a, there's a bigger side to this, which is the sport.
There's a natural thing to hold on to something which is yours and it's your business.
Absolutely.
And you want to grow. But they say it's better to have two shoe shops on the high street than one, because if you give people choice, mm-hmm. and they might go into one shop, come back, yep. and go to the other one. You go, oh, I go to Sam. Yep. And like you say, maybe I don't resonate enough with you, mm-hmm. but you need just the coach for you.
Yes.
This guy, yeah, he works for me. He's great. He's good with younger people or good with older people. And if that's about growing the sport,
yeah.
you know, I think it's great. Because, I mean, I'm a bit older than you, obviously, but I've got to a point in my life, I want to be involved with pickleball sort of full time if I can in some form. And I'm throwing the hooks out.
Yeah.
And hence I went on the commentating workshop up at
Telford.
Up at Telford with Dom Catalano.
Yep.
And which he delivered was really good.
Yeah.
Still yet to receive the feedback that he promised, but he hasn't done that yet.
Dom, get on it.
Well, I believe Rob and Karen are onto him because he said he wrote everything down and said, I'll get contact these and send you all some feedback, which still hasn't happened. But what he delivered and was actually really interesting because it's, you often think, you know, I do this and I can have a chat and communicate. I always feel like this is having a chat with a mate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go with where it goes.
Yeah.
But even when he sat us down and we just had our own like 1 minute of being the commentator and one being the expert.
Yeah.
And it's all about timing or when to say. And you know, the one thing that resonates is that don't tell the audience what they can see, mm-hmm. you know, tell them what they can't see. Mm-hmm. And also less is more.
Yes.
And I don't know about you. I watch sport a lot.
Yep.
And I love football. I love rugby.
Yep.
But now I listen to the commentators a lot more.
Yep.
What they're saying. And even when you get a pundit, an ex-footballer who's now and you go, he's got it.
Yeah.
He understands when to come in and what to say, how long say it. And it's a tricky thing to do.
Yeah.
I thought I'd like to get involved because I think maybe the more people you have with different personalities, different energy, you know, Dom said he had this guy he met out there and they were like the best buddies. He said he's like a brother from another mother and we get on so well. We just look at each other. We know when to say stuff, mm-hmm. not to say stuff. Look at the pro. He said, and he's from a baseball background, you know, and he's like doing pickleball and, you know, he was really good, really enthusiastic. And like, you know, anybody can be a commentator, you know, but it just, you need to practice your art and your skills.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'd like to see where that goes because, I don't know, we'll see what happens. World, I want the sport to grow. You know, you want to get people involved. The more people you can get involved, the better.
Yep.
So, because you said pickleball store. Now, I keep that. Is that Freddie or Luke? Is that Freddie or...
Freddie, UK, Freddie, UK pickleball shop.
Store. Yeah, I get them mixed up.
Yeah.
I did that. I walked into a festival and said hello to Lloyd, said, you must be Freddie. And then it was like, no. You know, and it was...
That's all right.
Simon, Steve, Bill were laughing.
Yeah, you
know, so got it wrong.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah, rookie mistake. But those two understand it. So Nottingham Uni.
Yes.
Same as my son.
Yes.
Sporting background. So were you a racket sports... Did you do a lot of racket sports? I know you did everything.
But. Yeah, I played tennis sort of just for fun. So I played once a week, played football from when I was tiny. And then my main racket sport, if you like, would have been table tennis.
Yeah.
So I started that in secondary school, got up to about like county level. So started competing regionally. And then,
I think that's the closest one of all the racket sports to pickleball in a way.
For doubles, I think it's the most useful. Singles is tennis categorically is the best for singles, but I think there's an argument for table tennis in doubles. But yeah, I competed for a little bit, got bored, so stopped around the same time that I found pickleball.
Okay.
So then I played cricket for a bit, but pretty much everything else dropped once I realized that I liked pickleball.
But all those sports are helpful, aren't they? I don't know if you don't follow rugby, but Marcus Smith is the current England number 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carlicans, and he was a very good footballer. He was on the books for Tottenham.
Yep.
He's a very good cricketer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all of those things helped me play and my position, hand-eye coordination.
For sure.
And football, the 360 viewpoint of what's going on. And, you know, they're all transferable skills.
Yep.
And I think that's what pickleball does for you, though, isn't it? It there's so much that's going on around you that's not happening. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, I have a laugh with Rob about the nine shots. You've probably heard about this. And Rob is saying to you, he says, it's not so much about the nine shots, but it's about the patterns and looking at how you can potentially beat people.
Yeah.
And you do see it, actually. You go, right, if I can if I can just get someone in a certain position, then I know I'm going to open up a bit.
That's it.
A winner, maybe.
That's it. And I sort of describe it as a bit like in football, for, you know, for those who know football, you've got the players that can read the game. And like I said to you before we started, I was a centre mid.
So I was going to say, well, there you are.
That was my general job.
Your job is to read the game, isn't it?
And like you said, that 360 degree view. And I think that's a really difficult skill to learn. And even now, you know, again, we discussed, I'm a big football fan. I watch a lot of football. And you can see the players who can read the game and the players who can't. And it's the same on a pickleball court. You know, you watch enough pickleball, you can see this player's trying to do this and this player's more reactive. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the nine shots, I know it's been banded around quite a lot. I think it's more the general approach of, do I have a plan in place?
Yeah.
And if I know I can execute this and this, this will happen.
Yeah.
And then I can do this.
Yeah.
And if you think about it more like that than a, you know, a specific number or a specific pattern, then I think that starts to get you somewhere, because you start to then recognize what's going on around you, rather than just, you know, hitting the ball over the net and inside the lines.
And do you find what I found? I've only just played singles once at the Open, mm-hmm. but singles is more like mini tennis.
For sure. You know? 100%. And only becoming more like that as well.
Hit it hard.
Yeah, the players that are coming in to pickleball now were such high level tennis players. They've got, you know, the clean technique, they've got the stupid amounts of topspin.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it becomes for women's, it's often a bit of a baseline battle and then an approach into the net. For men's, you know, they try and take the net as quickly as possible and try and win the point as quickly as possible. Yeah. And it's, you know, basically, can I get past you? Most of the time at the pro level, the answer is no, and then they have longer points. But yeah, I'm glad I made a decision very early on to bin off singles, because it does not look enjoyable to me.
I loved it though, because I think it's the only time when you do play, you can't blame anyone else.
Yes, so it's true.
That's the only advantage of it, a bit of running around and not blame anyone. But yeah, it is, like you say, doubles I find is a bit more fun. And also I think, notice in pickleball, if the gender mix doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Learn very quickly. It doesn't matter, mm-hmm. whether you're playing mix or gender or whatever. Yeah. Your partner, you both have strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And often if people think that they think the other gender is weaker, then, oh, they've got it. They've got
a
very, very big mistake going on.
I think
on.
Once you've been playing for a while, we've all, you know, as horrible as it sounds, we've all made that assumption at one point when we've been on a court, and we've all been wrong on that assumption. So you learn quite quickly, I think, that it's not about anything other than, you know, how hard they hit the ball, where can they place the ball, are they quicker than me? All of that really comes into it. And that's what I like is, you know, I played against Pei for the first time and I literally did not know what to do. I've never played against anyone like her before, male or female, just the way she played. And I literally had no idea what to do on the court.
Singles, was it singles?
Thankfully not, or else it would have been even worse for me.
Because her and Thalia play a lot together, don't they?
They do,
They're a formidable pairing, aren't they?
They are. It's, you know, it's getting so competitive now, which is good. But yeah, I think it's, like you said, it's one of those sports where irrelevant of age, gender, size,
anything, gosh,
you know, it's like,
don't judge a book by its cover. I would not.
That's the perfect
big
sport
mistake
for
in pickleball if you do that.
Because
there was a gentleman from America who was 77, and he's quite well known, and I can't remember his name. Really nice guy. It was at a festival tournament. And he was standing there, and his paddle was just hanging down, and he mm-hmm. thought, set position, paddle up.
Yeah,
My goodness, you think, oh, get it past him. Yeah. No. Even at 72, he's bang, got it, his hands up. I'd probably not something you coach, but it works for him. You know, that's why he was like, no, you think. And then you have a nanosecond where you start to admire your shot.
Yes.
And it's come straight back at you. which happened, I think, when Louis was doing a coaching session. He played with a few games with us, and I think Martin did a lovely shot, thought, I've got you, Louis. And then it's gone straight back.
Yeah.
So the hand-eye coordination. So there's always stuff you can practice, though, isn't there?
For sure.
First person to say who is in the country to make a business out of pickleball. That's what one of your friends said, which is a great testament. 25.
Yeah.